Good morning, good morning. Good to see everybody. What a beautiful day the Lord has given to us. Woohoo! Finally, we get some dry, sunny weather. It's just so nice to have that. It's not going to last, you know. It's weather. It is what it is, but we're going to love it while we got it. Tomorrow, if the weatherman's right, which of course, 80 degrees. So anyway, we'll see. If you're visiting for the first time, if you would please stop by the Welcome Center out there. We have a gift for you and want to welcome you officially. If you're visiting online for the first time, scan that QR code. That lets you know that, lets us know that you're out there watching and you can make contact with us in any way you want through that. So we'll do that. Be help. This week, some things are changing a little bit. So we will not have our Wednesday services. We usually have a morning and evening service on Wednesdays. But we're moving everything to Tuesday because Dr. Jim Shetler is going to be with us. We're hosting the Indiana Fundamental Baptist Fellowship meeting here on Tuesday. And then and if you want to come in the morning, you're welcome to come and be a part of that. But then in the evening at 7 o'clock, we'll have our regular Wednesday service on Tuesday evening. So there will not be any Awana. We're going to bring all the teens, all the college students, everybody in here. If you've never heard Dr. Shetler, you will want to hear him. If you've already heard him, you already know, so just come on out, and it'll be a blessing. So make sure. Now, if you're going to be at the morning service, if you would, I forgot to get a sign-up for you out there, but if you would let me or Melody know, there is a lunch, and if you plan on staying for lunch, we just want to make sure that we have enough for everybody. Typically, there's going to be about 30, 40 preachers here. It's a pastor's fellowship, but you're still welcome to come and enjoy the day, but we just would like to make sure that we have enough food for everybody. So that'll be on Tuesday. Lawn mowing, I think this is the last week you're going to have a chance to officially sign up. You can always volunteer. It's not like we're ever going to turn you down. But we mow. We have 15 acres, and other than where the buildings sit, we mow. All right? So we mow everything else. And so there's probably 12 acres that we're mowing. I don't know how much we're mowing. If you want to help out, that's the kind of mower we have. That's not ours, just so you know. That's just somebody found that on the internet. But we'd love to have you get on one of those and mow. We have two of those, and we'll put you to work. Speaking of work, we have a church work day coming up on Saturday, April the 27th. It begins at 9 o'clock. Tonight, we'll have our sign-ups for you out there. We're going to do things a little bit differently this year. We're going to ask for adults to sign up to be in charge of different projects. And then we'll assign teenagers. The teenagers can come and they can earn money to go to camp, things like that. We'll assign teenagers to work with you. You may not be able to be here for the whole time. It usually starts about 9 o'clock and ends after lunch. We'll bring pizza in or something for lunch. You can sign up as an adult and say, I want to start at 10:30 and I need an hour, whatever. And then we'll kind of put teenagers with you to work. And so there's inside work. All of the pews need to be cleaned up, the white part of the pews, and then the pews themselves need to be upholsterized, whatever that is. And then outside, we have tons and tons of work outside to do. And so whatever, if you want to do any of those things. Yes, somebody needs to be willing to do windows. And I know it's a pain, but if somebody wants to do windows, we'll have a place for you to sign up, and we'll get you to work. Pastor Brett is going to be ordained on Saturday, May the 4th, be with you, and we're looking forward to that. 10 o'clock here in the sanctuary. All of you are welcome to come and just stare at him and make him feel awkward. But he'll be up here if you've ever been to one of these things. So there's a council of our deacons and pastors that have been invited in to come, and they're going to just, he's written a dissertation of what he believes doctrinally. And then they'll have a chance to ask him questions and be challenged by them on his thinking. And just the whole purpose, quite honestly, is not to disqualify him. You understand? It is just simply to make sure that he's thinking through what he says he believes. So we've done these before. We did one with Pastor Andrew. I've done them before over the course of the years. I think we did one for Bruce and for Dennis and Joe. And yep. So anyway. Here we have Pastor Brett, looking forward to that on that, and there'll be a luncheon following if you're going to stay, we need to know. And then our missionaries of the week are John and Sue Conrad. That's not John and Sue Conrad. Oops, so which one is it? Is it the picture or is it the name? It's the name. Okay, John and Sue Conrad. So that would be the Colliers, but John and Sue Conrad work with the Carpenters Project, and what they do is they go around, thank you, they go around and actually help missionaries with all kinds of projects, whether it's a building project or whether it's passing out flyers and just all kinds of different projects, but they minister literally around the globe. Here's their prayer request: pray for churches in Haiti. Gangs are ruling the country and kidnapping is frequent. A pastor's wife was recently kidnapped and released only after a ransom was paid. This is one of the pastors that we used to have Rodney Fitzsimmons down there. He started about 25 churches when he was down there. It was one of those pastors. And so pray for them. Pray for churches in Myanmar. Civil war continues with many civilian casualties. Many missionaries have fled their homes and are hiding in the forest. So pray for Myanmar and those things that happened there. Pray for Ghana, West Africa, the Bible College. The Lord has provided for campus improvements, and they are expanding and building. Also in Ghana, Pairi Kengu Baptist Church, okay, if I say that right, they are meeting outside right now, but when rainy season comes, they will need a building. So there is a building in progress, so pray for that as the Carpenters Project helps them with that. Pray for Julianne, a new missionary in the Ivory Coast, and also pray for the Creole Bible Translation Project. So a lot of things going on through the Carpenters Project, and they need our prayers. With that prayer in mind, pray for Israel. You know, there's an imminent attack at this point. I don't know, did everything happen since I've been to sleep? Happened last night, finally. They had already released the drones, but they hadn't landed the last I heard last night on the news, so... You know, the Bible, you know, says to us, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, right? That's what we're supposed to do. And I was at least encouraged that our president said, we're going to stand with Israel. And it's been iffy where we're standing of late, and that's a big challenge. Can I give you some good news now that we've shared some prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? If you know who Josh Rooley is, if you don't, he's going to wave at us right now. There he is. Is Lillian here? Lillian, wave at us. They got engaged yesterday. Give them a hand. Congratulations. So that's always wonderful, all right? Let's have the men come. We're going to take up the morning offering. Brother Chuck, we're going to ask you, we have a lot of prayer requests, I know, that are there, so if you would pray for the Conrads and the Carpenters Project and the things that are going on there, pray for Israel, and pray that God would bless the offering and bless our service.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful that you are a great God, and you're a good God, that you love us and you care for us. Help us to honor you today. Thank you for your Son, who provided salvation so we can be reconciled to you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives within us, and is with us today, and will influence our service. Lord, I just pray that you'll bless. Thank you for our missionaries and their sacrifice to you. Pray for the Conrads and the Carpenter Project and the many things that they're involved with. I pray that you'll give protection to those as they travel and as they live in difficult places and they try to minister for you. Lord, I just pray that you'll encourage and bless. Thank you for the opportunity they have to be such a help. We do pray for Israel today. Lord, we thank you for them being a nation, and I pray that you'll, and thankful that we're backing them. And Lord, I just pray that you will continue to bless them. And as we see things unfolding, Lord, that you will be glorified and you will be honored. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here together today. Pray that you'll bless our service and bless this offering as we take it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. My faith still clings to thee. This morning we were talking in our college group, we're going through the book of Hebrews, and we were looking in Hebrews chapter 1, and the writer of Hebrews just lifts up to people who are struggling in faith, lifts up Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to sing all about Jesus Christ. So go ahead and stand with me as we sing three verses of Jesus is all the world to me.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I'll go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh,
Jesus
is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I'll trust him when life's fleeting day shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend.
Seeing, you may be seated.
Abel, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 23. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem, to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And may the Lord sanctify us through his word. Please remain standing.
We're going to continue singing about Jesus' name, and by singing, Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
There have been names that I have loved to hear, but never has there been a name so dear to this heart of mine as the name divine, the precious, precious name of Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. There is no name in earth or heaven above that we should give such honor and such love as the blessed name. Let us all acclaim that wondrous, glorious name of Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Someday I shall see him face to face, to thank and praise him for his wondrous grace, which he gave to me when he made me free, the blessed Son of God called Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Seated. We're going to sing our new hymn of the week. We haven't sung this one since March of 2019, so it may be new to a whole lot of you. As you might be able to see in the corner, it was written by Andy Gleiser, who we support on the mission field in Reno, and Mia Nicole Ray, who is no longer called Mia Nicole Ray. All right, she's Mia Till now. She arranged this song written by Andy Gleiser, and so if you know it, you can try to read the music. I'll sing the first verse, and then we'll go back and sing the first verse and all three verses here.
Blessed Jesus, can you bear once again to hear my prayer? Sin betrayed me, as you said, stole away the joy instead. Such a foolish heart have I to believe sin satisfies. I confess my errant view. Blessed Jesus, I need you.
All right, join me as we sing that verse.
Blessed Jesus, can you bear once again to hear my prayer? Sin betrayed me as you said, stole away the joy instead. Such a foolish heart have I to believe sin satisfies. I confess my errant view. Blessed Jesus, I need.
Verse 2.
Blessed Jesus, why would you cleanse and pardon me anew? I've done evil in your sight. You are purest, holy light. Yet for me you were content. Why I cannot comprehend how I hate the wrong I do. Blessed Jesus, I want.
On that last.
Blessed Jesus, will you not have the blood unstained this lot? Every place my sin is found, greater grace from you abounds. Nevermore let me forget what it costs to pay my debt. By your grace, well, will be true. Blessed Jesus, I love you.
I love singing new songs that we may or may not know because it forces you to read the words, right? You have to read them or else you don't know them. So it's always good, and I love that second verse where it talks about how we wouldn't understand why God, I can never comprehend how God would be condemned for me. And we're going to sing May Jesus Be Praised. So go ahead and stand with me as we sing this last song. We'll sing all four verses of May Jesus Be Praised.
When morning gilds the skies, my heart awaking cries, May Jesus Christ be praised. Alike at work and prayer, to Jesus I repair. May Jesus Christ be praised. May Jesus be praised. May Jesus be praised. In all I do, in all I say, may Jesus Christ be praised. May Jesus be praised. The night becomes as day when from the heart we say, may Jesus Christ be praised. The powers of darkness fear when this sweet song they hear. May Jesus Christ be praised. May Jesus be praised. May Jesus be praised. In all I do, in all I say, may Jesus Christ be praised. May Jesus be praised. In heaven's eternal bliss, the loveliest strain is this. May Jesus Christ be praised.
Up on that lad.
Be this while life is mine, my canticle divine. May Jesus Christ be praised. This the eternal song through all the ages long. May Jesus Christ be praised.
Seeing you, may be seated.
Impressed on his heart, it dreams. debtor to mercy alone. Of covenant mercy,
to mercy. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, in the book of John. To the book of John. Good to have everybody here today. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day of sunshine it is. I've been looking forward to this weekend. That was a lot of rain. They said that it's the wettest April on record thus far. We've had over 6 inches of rain since April 1st, and so that's just a lot. John chapter 8. I didn't think I told you the chapter. John chapter 8 is where we're going to be. Jesus is talking in verse 32 in John chapter 8, in verse 32, he says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Father, as we come to this passage of Scripture together today, may our hearts be open and receptive to your word. May your truth truly do its work to set us free, to challenge us, to cause us to live for you in greater fashion. Father, we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" And this is a great question. Jesus says, you know, the truth's going to make you free. And they're like, we don't need to be set free. We're not bound. And they go as far as to say, we have never been bound. And this is a big challenge. This is the challenge of everyone spiritually. We've got to come to this agreement with God that we are in need of a Savior, that we are truly bound people. Well, the people he's talking to here, they're like, we've never been bound. And Jesus goes on, verse 34, and says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Right? The Bible says this, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And Jesus is putting forth this truth to them. If you've ever sinned, you are bound by and to sin. Everyone is in need of a Savior. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In verse 35, Jesus goes on to say, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And this is where we're going to head with God's truths. We're going to look at some truths today. These are simple truths. Nothing profound, nothing you've probably not heard before, but something we have to consider. The first truth we've already discussed, and that is that everyone is impacted by sin. Everyone is bound by sin. Everyone is in need of a Savior. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're sitting here and saying, you know what, Pastor, I really don't need religion, you're probably right. You don't need religion. But there's not a person in here that doesn't need a Savior. You understand? Religion doesn't do anything for us. But Jesus Christ sets us free indeed. If the Son makes us free, we are free indeed. And so we need to come to grips with this truth. We need Christ. We need to come to grips with this truth. Our children need Christ. Our grandchildren need Christ. Our neighbors need Christ. Our co-workers need Christ. Everyone, all have sinned. And so this is truth number one. There is a sin problem, and we all are impacted by it. Everybody is bound by sin. Truth number two, we can't pay for our sin ourselves. The Bible says the wages of sin is... Now, I could accept an argument. There is perhaps a way that you could pay for your own sin. You know what it is? Be separated from God forever and eternity. That's the payment for sin. The wages of sin is death. It is separation from God. That is the wage of sin. And if you say, I don't want the Son, I don't want freedom from my sin debt, I don't want freedom from my sin bondage, I don't want freedom that Christ offers, fine. The choice is then that I will be separated from God for all eternity. That is the payment of sin. But there's nothing we can do on our own to pay sin's debt. You say, well, from this point forward, I am never going to sin. Good for you. That would be great. It wouldn't change the fact that you're already bound. If you've ever sinned, Jesus said, you're bound by sin. It doesn't change the fact you're already bound by sin. We cannot pay our own sin debt. There's not enough money on the planet because money's not the payment for it. We have to offer a life for that death, right? The wage of sin is death. It is separation from God. And we can't, there's no money to do this. I would love it if you would come to church regularly all the time, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That'd be fantastic. Not going to get you to heaven. Not going to change the bondage that we have in sin. When the truth is that our sin debt is beyond our ability to pay for it. We can't all of a sudden become super moral and, we're going to just never tell a lie, and that doesn't work. This is not a balancing act. Do you understand? Some people say, well, if I have more good things that I do, it'll outweigh the bad things. That is not the way this works. Because our sin debt is beyond our ability to lift it up. It must be paid, and that payment is separation from God. And we are bound to it. So, truth number two is that we're in trouble without the Son setting us free. We might try to do righteous deeds. I'm all about righteous deeds. I want you to come to church. I want you to read your Bible. I want you to pray. I want you to give to the poor. I want you to get baptized. But all those right, here's what the Bible says about our righteous deeds, right? All of our righteousnesses, apart from Christ, Christ is the one that sets us free. But while we're in bondage to sin, every righteous thing that we do is as a filthy rag. It offers nothing. It's tainted by our sinful condition, and it therefore becomes unrighteous. So a person who's still in bondage to sin, not set free by the Son, that person, when they give money to the poor, it's tainted by their sin. It's filthy. It's unrighteous. That person, when they pray, tainted by their sin, it is unrighteous, ungodly, filthy. That person, when they read their Bible, it gives them nothing for eternity. There's not a payment to be offered that would take care of our sin debt that we can offer other than to be separated from God for all eternity. That's the payment. If we're going to pay it, that's the payment we pay, to be separated from God for all eternity. That's truth number two. Truth number three, here's the reality. This is a tough one, right? So let's deal with truth number four first. Let's slip it in there. So truth number three is that the Son can set us free. Do you see this in the passage? And if the Son sets us free, we are free. And that the concept of that free indeed means that it's complete. It is complete. He who begins the good work will complete it. And so when I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, then my sin debt is completely paid. It's done. I never go back to being in bondage because the debt is paid. Do I still sin? I might from time to time. Still in this body, on this earth, before I reach heaven and have that glorified body and that glorified attitude and all those things, until this mortal puts on immortality, I'm still dealing with my flesh. But the sin debt is paid. There's no more a debt to be paid. The debt is paid. It's free indeed. And that's a huge thing for us. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, this is what needs to happen for you. Because we are all in bondage to sin. And the only way out is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way we get to the Father. That's the only way our sin debt is taken care of. And if the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. It's not temporary. It's not momentary. It is free indeed. That sin debt is paid. That's wonderful. But there's another little truth we don't like to consider. But here it is. Many who are free live like they're bound. Many who are free live like we're bound. Remember that the Apostle Paul writes, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, wherewith Christ hath made us free. What he's acknowledging is that it is possible, Christian, for us who have been set free, and free indeed, to entangle ourselves yet again with the yoke of bondage. Now, that doesn't take us back under the bondage of the payment of sin, but now we're free and living as if we're still in bondage. And it doesn't make sense. Some of this is really simple stuff. You know, it's like, so have you ever messed up really badly? I mean, like, really badly. You messed up and you wish you hadn't. You're ashamed of it. You hope nobody ever finds out. You know. You keep carrying it with you. God's forgiven you. You've been set free by the Son. You're free indeed. And yet you still walk around defeated, you're dragging around the guilt of a sin debt that is already paid. And that makes zero sense in the Scripture. The Bible says we are to forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those. Why are we living in bondage when the Son has set us free and made us free indeed? We need not carry around guilt. I'm not suggesting that you don't still recognize that what you did was wrong. And if somebody brings it up, you acknowledge it was wrong, but praise the Lord, I'm forgiven. You understand? To drag around the guilt is to belittle the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ has set us free, and we are free indeed. And sometimes we're just carrying around guilt we don't need to carry around. It doesn't make any sense. That's one way in which we're living in bondage. Sometimes it's fear. I mean, let's still deal with that guilt. We are living in holy terror, so to speak, that somebody will find out what we did. Can I just point this out? The only one who it matters already knows. And he's forgiven us. Do you understand? So if you know all of my warts and scabs and everything that I've done and said and thought, what does it matter if my Savior has forgiven it? And sometimes we live in mortal fear of this concept. Oh, man, somebody brought up this morning, you know, I hope they understand that I mean this lovingly. You know, and they said something like, I just hate that this person's being punished for their sin. And I was like, no, they're not being punished for their sin. The punishment for their sin was laid on the back of their Savior. This is a saved person. Are there consequences to our sin? Yes. There are that's not the same as punishment. God is not actively punishing us when we're reaping what we've sown, right? If you've said something to your spouse and she's mad at you, that's not God punishing you. That's just us reaping what we've sown. The punishment of sin is done. It's paid for. We are free indeed. Do you understand? And so we don't need to worry and sit and stew and fear like, oh no, what's going to happen if I suffer the consequences? Well, okay, the consequences might still be there, but the ultimate consequence is done. You know what's going to happen? You're going to die one day and go to heaven. That's what's going to happen. Because you've been set free by the Son. And that free is free indeed. And sometimes we carry around this bondage by being just afraid. Some people are angry. You're angry because somebody did something to you or whatever, this happened, that happened. Sometimes it's just life, right? I mean, life is tough. It's not easy to live in a sin-cursed world. This last week, we shared a prayer request on Wednesday. I'm trying to be careful because I'm on the airway now, so you just be more careful. But the neighbor of someone in our church, their 7-year-old grandson had a seizure and died. And the funeral was this last Friday. And you think, wow, it would be so easy to become bitter and angry and let the consequences of living in a sin-cursed world take away the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, that free indeed. I got to share this with you, though. That person went to the funeral, the person from our church went to the funeral, and listened, because the boys were living with the grandparents, and listened as both grandparents stood up and gave God glory for what he had done in the life of that seven-year-old boy. They know Christ is their Savior, and they're holding on to the freedom that comes in Christ and not letting that sin debt come in and all of a sudden take away their joy, take away their contentment, because we live in a sin-cursed world. And some people get angry and bitter and frustrated, and they're dragging around the bondage of sin from which they have been set free. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Are we free in Christ? And are we free indeed? Why are people who have been set free living as if they are in bondage? Dealing with the freedom in Christ, I mentioned a minute ago, because I wanted to kind of get there before I talk about living in bondage again. You know what that freedom is? I've been mentioning to you this freedom from the penalty of sin, and that's true. It is. But there's a little other caveat in there. It's more than a caveat, right? It's really supposed to be our way of living. That the blood of Jesus Christ not only frees us from the penalty of sin, we're no longer going to be separated from God for all eternity, but now we have a relationship with him. We walk in the light as he is in the light. But we are freed from the power of sin. So that I can say no to bitterness, and I can say no to fear, and I can say no to anger, and I can say no to temptation, whereas before I could not, before I was bound to sin, the bondage is gone. I no longer have to sin. I no longer have to live this way. I now have options, and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ can give me power to say no to sin. So sometimes we're living in bondage as we're freed in Christ, but we're living in bondage because we're dragging around old things. Sometimes we're living in bondage because we're not exercising the power that God has given us over sin. We can say no. Years ago, there was an ad, I think it was Betty Ford. Was it Betty Ford? The campaign, Just Say No to Drugs. Right? Remember that one? Was that Betty Ford? Remember that, right? Just Say No to Drugs. I tell you, I just want to show you how far we've gone as a country. Because just recently, I was listening to an ad on the radio put out by our government, just like the Just Say No campaign was back then. And it says this, don't, it went, by the way, from don't just say no to don't drink and drive. And now it is don't drive, not high, what's the other word? Buzzed. Don't drive buzzed. It's okay to drink, just, and it's okay to drink and drive, just don't get to the buzz part. And we just keep moving, the stick back, right? It doesn't make any sense. You know what? The power of Jesus Christ allows us to say no, completely. Just say no. It's a great freedom we have in Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is greater than all of our sin. Do we believe this? And we can say no. We are free in Christ, and we are free indeed. Truth number five. This freedom and liberty does not equal a license. Hey, Pastor, praise the Lord. You just told me that I'm free from the penalty of sin no matter what. So I can do whatever I want and I'm still going to heaven. And I can't argue that point. I can't. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says it this way. If we have the foundation of Jesus Christ and we build on that foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, then one day, when we meet our Savior, we pick up those gold, silver, precious stones, and we say, this is what I did because I love you. And he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or we can build on that foundation wood, hay, and stubble. And the fire comes across our life again, and the wood, hay, and stubble is burnt away. And we scrape off the ashes from the foundation of Jesus Christ. And we stand in front of our Savior and say, this is what I did because I love you. And that's a problem. I'll grant you. The Bible goes on in that same passage, says, he is still saved, though as by fire. Our salvation is sure. But freedom from sin does not equal license to do whatever we want. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He has empowered us to live righteously. And he challenges us to do so because we love him. Not so people can see us, but because we love him. And so we need to understand this truth, that this freedom is not a license. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know this passage. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, given everything he needs to do what? All good works. This is why we have been set free, to accomplish this good work. God has empowered us now to do right. And his expectation is that we would do just that. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're in Christ, we're created a new man, right? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old, new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. And that new creature is created for this purpose, unto all good works. This is what, it's not a license to live however we want, to do whatever we want. It is an empowerment to live righteously. And that's where the true freedom is enjoyed, right? It's found in Christ, but it's enjoyed in living out the life he's called us to live. That's where we get to enjoy freedom. See, some of us are living, some people, they're set free. Like, the door to the prison has been opened, but they're still living in the cell. There's no enjoyment there. They're free. Hello. You can go. It's open. But we're living in the cell, and there's no joy. It's no wonder that we think that Christianity is so boring. It's no wonder we think Christianity is a burden. There are people who think Christianity is the burden. Like the world is where it's all to be found, and Christianity is the burden. We've got this backwards. We're living in the cell. And the door is open. You're free, and you're free indeed. But we're living it this way, but it's not a license to live however we want. And truth number six, and we're done. Not all who believe are saved. Hear me out. The devils believe. Head knowledge is not what it's about. Well, sure, I know that there was a Jesus. Good for you. But when we believe on Jesus Christ, when we place our confidence in what he did on the cross as the payment for our sin debt, then that faith is attributed to our righteousness. We trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. There's a difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge, right? The Bible says that thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. It's what we cling to, not what we acknowledge. I acknowledge there was a Jesus. Good for you. The devils do too. It doesn't change things for them. It's what we cling to. I am trusting that Jesus to keep his promise to give me eternal life. And that faith sets us free indeed. So what about it? Are you free? And if so, are you living like it? Are we free? Are we still, you know, genuinely? Or are we free but living in bondage? Or is it perhaps that we have this knowledge, but we've never actually trusted what Jesus Christ has done? Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. Jesus says, the truth shall make you free. And I've tried to share some truths with us today. There's some truths that we have to consider. All of us are impacted by sin. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Jesus is the only way for that sin debt to be paid. We can't pay it ourselves. Once we are free, we have opportunity to live in that freedom with the joy that comes with it. We have that opportunity. Where are we at? Are we living in freedom? Are we living free but in bondage? Or are we still in bondage, needing to put our faith and trust in a Savior who can change our spiritual condition? Pastor John, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know that if I died today, I would be in glory for all eternity. But Pastor, I have to be honest, my life is being lived out as if I'm in bondage. I'm struggling with bitterness. I'm struggling with anger. I'm struggling with you know, the frustration and fear. I'm still just living out as if I've not been made free. Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and let me see that so I can pray for you? Thank you, thank you, thank you. 10, 12, 15, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Maybe there's somebody here who say, Pastor, I'm not really sure if I died today I would go to heaven. The reality is, Pastor, I have knowledge of Jesus, but I'm not certain I have faith in Jesus. And if I were to die today, I'm not certain what would happen to my soul, where I would spend eternity. Pastor, I'm concerned about my soul. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and let me see that? Is there anyone here like that this morning? You say, that's where I'm at, Pastor. Father, many, many tender hearts are here today. God, I pray that not only would we be free in Christ and free indeed, but that we would live out the joy, the contentment that comes with that freedom. Thank you for opening the cell door. Give us the courage to walk out. Many hands have gone up asking for prayer. God, I pray that you would be with each one and give them that contentment, that strength, that willingness to follow you in a unique way. For those who are living in the joy of your freedom, may we stay there, remain there. Father, we'll thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing Take the Name of Jesus With You. As we sing, the altar's open to you. You step out, let the Lord have his way, which is we sing together.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Amen. You may look this way. I appreciate your kind attention. We have several visiting people that you might know but haven't seen in a while. So it's good to have Drew's family back with us. Drew from last summer, Drew Hester, if you're trying to remember those folks. And good, many of you may have known Miss Virginia when she was Virginia Wiseman, so she's here visiting. It's been good to see you folks, and welcome. And Brandon's over here. He's got somebody he'd like to introduce you to. So you can see Brandon. Anybody else? I don't know if I'm. This is why you don't do this as a pastor, right? Because you start missing people. And I'm not trying to miss anybody. Just let you know that they're here. So here's what you do. Walk slowly, visitors on the way out. So everybody gets a chance to find you and see you, all right? That's the way we'll do this. So don't get in any hurry. The Lord bless you. Keep you, make his face shine upon you, give you peace. God bless you. You are dismissed.